Open your Bibles today. Got your Bible, got your sword with you this morning. Got your word with you this morning. Open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 35, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 35. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture there and talk to you this morning for a few moments. Isaiah, how many still with us this morning? You still here? All right, okay. Stay with me here. All right, Isaiah 35 and verse number 8. Oh, we got a couple more going. Isaiah 35 and verse number 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. Praise God. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, should not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Hallelujah. Verse number 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, hallelujah. There is some shouting territory right there. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the King's Highway. The King's Highway. How many knows the King has a highway this morning? Amen. You know, man has built many great expressways, and the interstate highway system is a very complex thing, and it's a very intriguing thing. And there have been expressways and highways and turnpikes all throughout this nation, throughout the world, that have been built by man that are awesome to behold, that are something to see. But I want you to know that this morning God has surpassed every single one of them. Because God has established a highway of His own. God has a highway of His own that He has established. It's a distinct highway, and it's a special highway, and it's an important highway, because the highway that God has constructed and God has built is a highway which leads to heaven. Amen? And that's the highway that we read about here in Isaiah 35 this morning. A number of years ago, I was talking to an individual. I don't even remember who the fellow was. It's been a number of years ago, but I was reminded of it this week. But I was talking to a man, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, you could ask 10 different people how to get to heaven. What is the way to get to heaven? And he said, out of those 10 different people, that you would get 10 different answers. And which that is correct. But then the next phrase the next sentence that he gave was not correct. He said, and all of them would be right. And I said, no, all of them would not be right. Because according to God's word, there are not many different ways that lead to God. But according to God's word, there is only one way that leads to God. Now, I'm really pretty dogmatic about this, and we have to be, because we're living in a time that, and a day that says, well, you know, there's many different avenues, and there are many different ways, and there are many different religions. And there's a move on today to unite together different religions all in one and say that no matter what you believe or which road you travel, that all of those roads and all of those ways are eventually going to lead to God and lead to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word of God teaches. There is only one way. And that one way is not the Pentecostal way. And that one way is not the Methodist way. And that one way is not the Lutheran way, and it's not the Catholic way or the Baptist way, but that one way to get to heaven is getting on the King's highway. It's the highway of heaven. Amen. It's that heavenly highway, and it's the only one that leads to that leads to the place that you want to go. There's a lot of destinations that people are heading to, but there's only one you want to go to, and that is to be with the Lord. Jeremiah made a statement in Jeremiah 6 and 16. Jeremiah said this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways," W-A-Y-S, plural, "stand ye in the ways and see." And this was a message of God, from God to Israel. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Where is the good way, singular? "Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." See, there's many ways, different ways, according to Jeremiah, but he said there was only one true way, only one right way, only one good way, and that was the way that God had laid down from the very beginning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he mentioned two different ways and said that only one of those ways leads to life. Now, I believe if Jesus said that, then it must be true. Amen? If he said, you know, he said there was a wide gate and a broad way that led to destruction. But then he said there was a straight gate, a narrow gate, and a narrow way that led to life. He didn't say there was a whole lot of different ones, but only two. One led to destruction, one led to life. One had a lot of people on it, Jesus said. Many were on that broad way, but he said, but on that narrow way, there's only few that find it. Now, you know, Jesus, probably people accuse him, just as they do many of us today, of being narrow-minded. But there's still just one way, and it's the way of the cross. Can somebody say amen? It's the way that God has prepared for His people. It's the King's highway. It's a heavenly highway. And that highway leads to blessing, and that highway leads to victory, and that highway leads to heaven. You know, a number of years ago, there was a rock and roll group, AC/DC, that came out with a song, "Highway to Hell." And there's a lot of people on that road today. But I want you to know there's a highway that leads to heaven today. And it's time people get off the highway to hell and get on the highway that leads to glory. Praise the Lord. There are some things that we see in this text that talking about this highway to heaven, this highway of the King, that we want to look at real quickly this morning, that this way to heaven, first of all, is a heavenly way. It's a highway that is made, that is not made by man. In other words, it's not a man-made road. But God sent His Son to build this highway to heaven, and He opened up this road, opened up this way when He died on the cross of Calvary. The highway that has been prepared for you and I to get on, this highway of holiness, this highway cost God a great deal. It cost God the greatest jewel of heaven, His only begotten Son. The Bible says in Romans 8:32 that God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And He said, because of that, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? This royal road that we are on today, this royal highway was a highway that was blasted out of the rock of ages and was paved with the precious blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. It's a royal road that was built by the King's Son, who waved His hand across it when it was all said and done, and the veil of the temple was rent and opened up, and that road became an open way, and He said, "It is finished. It is accomplished. There is no other way, but the way of the cross is the highway that leads to heaven." It's the way of the redeemed. He said there in verse 9 and 10 that the redeemed would walk therein and the ransom of the Lord would be on this highway. And see, there's only one way to be redeemed. How many know that? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18, 19, that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we are precious jewels or things like that, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have been rescued. We have been delivered. We have been set free from the slavery and the bondage of sin and Satan by the precious holy shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the old hymn says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed and His child and forever I am. Can somebody get happy in this church today? Hallelujah. There's redemption through Jesus Christ. And the only way to get on this highway is to get on it through placing your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The only way to get on this highway is by coming through that gate that leads to it. Getting on. You know what the entry ramp is onto this highway of holiness? It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's repenting of your sin. It's turning away from this world and turning to the Son of God and saying, here I am with nothing to offer you. I'm just a sinner, but I know you died for me on Calvary's cross. Save me and bring me into the family of God. It is a heavenly way prepared by the Son of God. But the second thing we notice about this highway, that it is a hallowed way, or it is a holy way. Woo, hallelujah. Now don't drift off on me here. Because anytime we mention this word, holiness, you know the first thing people say, uh-oh, he's preaching legalism. You'd be going to label him as a legalist or a Pharisee, but you know the Bible still teaches holiness. I still believe in holiness. He said in verse 8 here, Isaiah said that this way, this king's highway, this way shall be a way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it. I'm going to tell you something, that in life we are confronted with these choices of two ways. We've got the highway and we've got the low way. Can you say amen? And if the way that you are traveling is not a holy way and not a separated way and not a clean way and not a pure way, then it's not God's way. Now, is that right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't found anywhere where God has changed His word. And it's still a way of holiness. People get they're afraid of that term. They're afraid of that word. It's not used very much anymore behind pulpits and from, you know, in preaching and by preachers. But God hasn't taken that word or that term holiness from His Bible. It's still a holy way and a clean way. And holiness, listen, holiness is the message of grace. And I know there's a message of grace, and I'm not going to go into that. You know what's going on today because I've dealt with it before. But there is a message of grace today that is teaching that, you know, grace just allows an individual to live any way they want to live. And it doesn't matter what a person does or doesn't matter how a person lives, doesn't matter what their lifestyle is. Once they've accepted Christ, grace just takes over and grace covers everything. But that's not the kind of grace that the Bible teaches. The kind of grace that the Bible teaches is a grace that gives us the enablement of His Spirit to live a holy life. The kind of grace that the Bible teaches and the kind of grace that God gives is the kind of grace that will keep us on this highway of holiness. And it's very, God's very plain and very clear. He said that a wayfaring man, even though a fool, shouldn't get mixed up or confused about this. That it is a way of purity, and it's a way of holiness, and it's a way of cleanness. Can somebody say amen? God is still opposed to sin. Jesus died not only to forgive us of our sin, not only to just, you know, to blot it out in our life, but he died so that we could have power and have victory over sin. The true message of grace is found in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And the Apostle Paul talked about grace there, and he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now here he's talking about grace. In verse 12 he said that here's what this grace does. This grace teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that here's grace. Here's what grace does. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly when we get to heaven. Yeah, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly right now in this present evil sin-cursed world. There's a highway that you can get on that is a clean way and a pure way. And if you're not on it today, you need to get on the entrance ramp and get on this highway of holiness and get your life cleaned up and let the blood of Jesus wash you and set you free. Come on, somebody, say amen. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, Bert Clendenin used to always say, living a Christian life is not hard. He said, it's impossible. And that's true. If you try to live it within your own self. And that's what he was talking about, and that's what he meant. He meant to try to live a holy life. There's only one person that ever did it, and his name is Jesus. There's only one person that ever was perfect and lived completely and in adherence to all of the law of Moses and never sinned and never broke a commandment. His righteousness before God was perfect in his earth walk. But you know, the good thing about that is that Jesus died for you and me, and that when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he comes into your life. He comes and lives on the inside of you to live his life in you and to live his life through you. Amen? It's faith in Christ and the finished work of the cross. And somebody said, well, you know, if it's just faith, as I just keep my faith in Christ, and then, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. I can do anything I want to. But see, here's the thing. If your faith is properly placed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a change in your want to. You just don't want to do the things you used to want to do. Come on, somebody. When I got up from that altar on that Sunday morning in 1973, when I'd give my heart and life to Jesus, I told somebody about it the other day. We was talking about it the other day. I said, you know, I've mentioned it here before. My language was a mess. My language was very, very bad. I cussed every other word. I couldn't, you know, I mean, it was just a normal part of my lifestyle. But do you know what? When I got up from that altar, I didn't have to think about not cussing. The cussing was gone. It was washed away. It was gone by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a way of holiness. It's a clean way. Amen? I believe that a grace that doesn't lead to holiness is not a grace that comes from God. Jude talked about those who had turned the grace of God into lasciviousness or into a license. And that's the same thing that we see happening today in the world and within the church body, that the grace of God is being promoted as a license to sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, Paul even said it, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then he answered it emphatically and said, "God forbid, or perish the thought. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Thank God there's a remedy. Thank God there's a highway that is a clean way. Thank God there is a way in this old sin, cursed, dark and dirty world. There is a way that is clean and righteous and holy. And the redeemed, the ransom of the Lord, are walking on that road. Are you on the King's highway? Way today? Are you on the highway of holiness? Praise God. But the third thing about this highway is that it's a harmless way. It's a harmless way. I love what verse number 9 says. He says that no lion shall be there. or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, and it shall be not found there. What? No lion or ravenous beast shall be thereon, it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Along with these ancient roads in Bible times, many times a lion would crouch in the grass and he would spring out on the traveler, leaving him dead on the roadside. There was always a fear of danger that was lurking on the side of these ancient roads. So the traveler, as he was going along, always had to be on the lookout, because he never knew what might be lurking in the bushes along the side that might be a danger to his life. And you know, in the same way, we as believers, do you know you're living in a dangerous world today? I mean, this world today is a place where robbery and drug abuse and rape and murder are commonplace. You can't turn on the television, you know, and watch the news without there being seeing and hearing of several murders just a few miles from us in St. Louis. The crime rate is accelerating all the time. We're just living in a dangerous place, a dangerous world. And the reason for that is because there's a lion on the loose. There's a lion that's prowling around. Satan is going about. The Bible says there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. We're living in that fallen world where the enemy is going about devouring everyone that he possibly can. He's looking, Satan is, for every opportunity to attack the believer and to attack his life. But I want you to know, and we covered this when we preached the series on the things that the devil cannot do. But I just want to remind you that we know from 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan cannot devour everyone. Amen. I said he cannot devour everyone. If he could, he wouldn't have to seek somebody that he may devour. I've made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to get on this King's highway and I'm going to walk on this way, because it's a safe way. It's a protected way. It's a way that no lion or ravenous beast can gnaw on me. Can you say amen? How many of y'all believe in protection? That the Lord gives us protection. I believe that. Amen? Jesus has defeated the devil. He's defeated the powers of darkness. Jesus is more than a match for the enemy. And the Lord has promised us in Luke 10:19. And I know people say, well, Luke 10:19 was just a verse that was for his disciples when he gave that to them. But I believe it's for the church. I believe it's for every born-again believer. And Jesus said in that verse of Scripture that he said, behold, he said, I give unto you, talking to the church, he said, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and upon scorpions and over, listen, all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you understand what he said? Somebody said, well, wonder what that means. That means that Jesus has given to the body of Christ authority and power over the power of the devil. That he has given us power to walk on those serpents. That no ravenous beast, no serpent, the power of the devil is not greater than the power of the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of the born-again, spirit-filled child of God. Woo! We sang the song, you know, you sing the song, I'm only human, I'm just a man. Well, you know what's wrong with that phrase? Yeah, you're human, but not only human. Part of you's Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! You've got something more than human living on the inside of you. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you. Somebody ought to shout glory today. Hallelujah! And it's delegated power and delegated authority that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the head of the church, has delegated to His people, that's delegated to His church, power over all the power of the enemy. John said it this way. He said that you have overcome the evil one because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that right? Psalm 91. Anybody know what Psalm 91 is all about? Woo! Hallelujah! Psalm 91, you talk about a psalm of protection. And you know, it wouldn't do you any harm to take that 91st psalm and read that about every morning, about every day, and just begin to pray that psalm and to claim the blessings of that psalm. Because in Psalm 91 all the way through, we won't go through it this morning, but through that entirety of that psalm, he's talking about how God is our refuge, and God is our fortress, and God is our deliverer, and God is our protector. And we don't have to be afraid of the air of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, because he said 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm talking about a protector. I'm talking about a God that is our shield. He is our protector. Amen. He's put a hedge around about his people. And every single day of your life, you need to appropriate the blessings of God and start believing God and claiming that hedge of protection around about your life, around about your home, around about your family, around your children, around your grandchildren. I'm talking about a highway that is a holy way, that is a harmless way, that is a protected way, that the devil can't get to you. Hallelujah. Man. Psalm 91 goes on to say this in verse 9 and 10 and 13. He said, "You shall tread upon the lion." Oh, hallelujah. "You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon." Who's this symbolizing? Satan. Is he the dragon? Amen. "The young lion and the dragon," what's going to happen to them? "Shalt thou trample under feet." See, the devil doesn't have any business in your home. The devil doesn't have any business in your business. The devil doesn't have any business in your family. He doesn't have any business working and operating in your home, in your marriage, in your life. The devil has no business in your finances. The only place the devil has any business being is right down here under the feet of the born-again child of God. Jesus has put Satan under. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being highly exalted and God having placed all things under his feet, under him. And then it talks about the church being the body of Christ. So if we are the body's part of the feet. Somebody said, "Well, I'm just so insignificant, Pastor Rick. I'm not really much in the body." Well, are you in the body? Are you in Christ? Yes or no? That's just pretty simple. You either are or not. Well, I'm half in. No, you're not half in Jesus. You're either in him or out of him. But I'm just seeing like, you know, I'm so weak and I'm so insignificant. And maybe I'm just the toenail on the little toe of the body of Christ. But do you know what? Even if you're just the toenail of the little toe in the body of Jesus Christ, the little toe is on the foot, and the foot is on the body, and the devil is still under the foot. So if you're just a toenail on the little toe, you've still got more power than the enemy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a harmless way. It's a protected way. Jesus is our shepherd, and David talked about that in that 23rd Psalm. I preached on that a few weeks back. I mentioned that in a message. But he said, "We'll fear no evil." It's because of the shepherd. We fear no evil because you, shepherd, you good shepherd, are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? Thou art with me. So there's not anything for the born again child of God to fear. Well, you're passing through. And you know, sometimes, listen, sometimes this heavenly King's Highway takes a path sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's just the shadow of death. You've got to have a light to cast a shadow. And we get to thinking about that sometimes and we say, oh, I'm in the valley and it's so dark. All the valley can do is just cast a shadow on you. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And you know, a shadow never hurt anybody. Anybody here ever been bit by the shadow of a dog? Hallelujah! No! Because the shadow of a dog can't hurt anybody. A shadow of a lion can't hurt anybody. And when you're in Jesus Christ, He's got you hedged up. It's a safe way, and it's a way of protection. So we need to understand that and stay on that King's Highway and keep on praying, keep on trusting, keep on leaning upon the promises of God. And I'm going to tell you, He will keep you safe and protect you. Amen? And nothing will be able to touch you that's not allowed by the Lord. And the Lord will not allow anything that will be detrimental or harmful to your life. I know things happen in our life sometimes and we think this is detrimental. If you're in Christ, it can't be detrimental to your life. Because if you're in Him and you're in His will, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and that are called according to His purpose. Amen? Number four. Oh man, I'm telling you. Number four, this King's Highway. I like this. It's a happy way. Oh, it's a happy way. Do we have any happy people here today? Can I hear from all the happy folk? Hallelujah. Those that are on this King's Highway, it says, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall what? Flee away. Do you know, as a child of God, and I know this is going to hit all of us because it's going to hit me. I figure if I'm hitting me, it's okay if I hit you. Amen? If I'm preaching to myself, then I can preach to you. But do you know there's no reason for the child of God to be worried and discouraged? No reason for that at all. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us not to be worried and discouraged. The King's Highway is a happy way. It's a happy path. You don't have to be sad when you're on the King's Highway. You don't have to be discouraged and blue because God wants you. As a child of God, He wants you to be full of joy and gladness. Do you believe that? I mean, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So anything that tries to steal our joy or rob our joy is not from, it's not from the Lord. That Hebrew word for gladness that is used there in Isaiah 35, that Hebrew word is often used to express exceeding joy or jubilation. It's a word that's used for somebody that's just for crazy praise. Radical joy. Just jubilant. Anybody ever been that way? I wish you was that way this morning. Praise God. I'd like to see it once in a while. Amen. Nehemiah 12:43. It uses that same word for joy. And it talked about how Israel, in this day, it says that they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God, listen, God had made them rejoice with great joy. Not just the men, but the wives and also the children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Well, I think, I think that our joy, we could get so joyful that they could hear our joy all the way to town. Amen. Or when they're driving down the street. I think our joy and our praise should be expressed in our voices and let everybody know how happy and how joyful that we are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And their joy was heard from afar off. In Deuteronomy 28, and I just want to give you this verse real quickly. Deuteronomy 28, 47, 48 is something very interesting. Because here it tells us in these two verses, it talks about how that gladness will keep you free from the enemy. And notice what it says. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Notice the next verse. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. When I read that, I'm telling you, you get a hold of that verse, it'll make you pray, Lord, help me not to complain when everything don't go my way. Because he said, because you do not serve me with gladness and with happiness and with joy for all the blessings that I've given unto you. In other words, he's saying, if you complain instead of praise, then you're going to wind up serving your enemies. A lack of joyfulness will open the door for the enemy to come into our life. I don't want that, amen? But I believe this on the right, on the other hand, that praise and joy and thanksgiving will loose you, will set you free, and will drive back the forces of darkness and give you victory on the inside of your spirit and soul. Can you say amen? Oh, it's a happy way. It's a joyful way. It's a way that we're walking on the King's highway. But last of all, musicians and singers, make your way up. This way, it's a heavenly way. It's a holy way. It's a harmless, safe way. It's a happy, joyful way. But listen, this way, the King's highway, is the home way. I said it's the home, H-O-M-E. It's the home way. It's the way home. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Listen, these are the ones on this King's highway. And come to Zion. Every road, every street, every highway has a destination. It leads somewhere. But the road that leads home is the best road. Doesn't matter where you've been, vacation, whatever. Isn't it always good? No matter how much fun you've had, it's always good to get home. No matter how much you've enjoyed yourself, it's just good to get on that road and get on your GPS and hit that button that says home. And then she starts taking you, leading you on the road home. Well, I'm glad to tell you today, I found the road home. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this old world anymore. Yesterday, I conducted the funeral service for my Uncle Howard Marbury, 94 years old. Got saved. He got saved in a First Assembly of God Church, Cape Girardeau, right after World War II. He'd served in the Army during World War II and came home and had a revival meeting, First Assembly. Howard and his wife Vera went. Holy Ghost got a hold of them. They got saved. They in turn then invited my mom and dad to go. My mom and dad got under conviction and they got saved. They also invited my mom's sister and her husband to come to the revival. And they came and got saved. See, it's always good to invite people to church. But for 94 years, he lived for the Lord. He served as a deacon at First Assembly in Cape for many, many years. Moved to Des Plaines, Illinois. Worked for the Avon Corporation for a number of years in Illinois. Retired back to Cape Girardeau in 1985. And him and his wife, my dad's sister, were lifelong members of First Assembly. Picture health, Howard was. 94 years old, he lived with his daughter, but he got around, he's just picture health. Week ago, Monday, got ready to go to bed, and he had a stroke. Fell. Went to the hospital. The hospital, they said, where's his medical? What medications? We can't find any medications that he's on. He wasn't on it. 94, he wasn't on anything. He didn't have nothing wrong with him. There was nothing wrong with him. He was just, listen, he had been on the highway of holiness. Since 1947, he'd been on the highway of holiness. God just blessed him and kept him. But on Wednesday evening at 8:40, the highway that he had traveled for all those years, the gate opened up and he reached the final destination. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He reached the final destination and he stepped through the gate. He stepped out of this life and stepped into glory. I wish we could comprehend what that's going to be like. But this highway is the home way. It's the way that leads to heaven. If you're not on it today, you need to get on it. You need to get on it. Because it is the way that leads home. And there's a glorious destination that we will arrive at. Hebrews 12:22 says, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. It's the highway that leads home. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?